Hello, everyone. Welcome to the inaugural season of Smart Giving, a podcast created by Tulane's Office of Gift Planning. My name is Olivia Philippe, and I am a director of gift planning in our office, and we are so glad that you've decided to tune in. This podcast covers topics that we think are of general and timely interest to our Tulane community. We hope that you find this series both interesting and helpful to you in your philanthropic planning. This episode covers the topic of women in philanthropy, in light of several recent newsworthy stories about female-driven philanthropy on a national scale. We felt it important to feature this subject matter through the lenses of some women in our Tulane community. This episode features three incredible panelists who have made contributions of time, talent, and treasure to their communities and to Tulane. We have split the episode into two parts. This is the second half of the episode. Please enjoy part two.
I'm going to turn to Pat, because what you have been doing is using your IRA. And that's, Katie was referencing maybe when we were talking before we started about that she, you know, was listening to one of our earlier podcasts about IRA giving. And I think that's a really important topic. I think people don't think of it as a bucket, as it were, to you know, fund their philanthropy, but you're doing that. So can you speak to that and what you've done and how you came to those decisions and how it's working?
Well, it's, I mean, you have to be fairly old to do what I do. So it wouldn't apply to, and there are other ways of using your IRA. This yes. just, I mean, clearly I think, and any woman would be interested. You maximize the amount you can give if you do it in a tax efficient way. I mean, whatever it is. And that is just a real simple, it's very complicated, but it's a simple rule that, you know, when you start to give, you really ought to think about, especially if it's more than, you know, $200 or something.
So how did you make the decision that?
I've also been looking at, you know, longer term donations as well, you know, where and there are a number of different kinds of ways you can do this, and I know you operate them because Olivia has told me lots about them. I decided initially not to do that, partly because I just want my daughter to be a bit older before I decide, okay, sure, this is gone. Somebody, the principal amounts. But so as it turns out, the government has been quite nice with the in giving, at least encouraging charitable giving from this thing called the RMD. You are required, even if you don't need it, to take a certain amount, varies every year, and they calculate it, blah, 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 from your IRA, and it's taxed. That's just the IRS wants its money back. After all, they've let you sit accumulate. Right. Every year you have to do this, although not this year, actually, but for COVID. And the advantage of it in terms of charitable giving is it's a little bit tricky. You have to work with the people. It has to go directly. It can't come to you at all. It has okay. to go directly from your whoever is managing your IRA to the charitable organization. So it never hits your income, and it disappears. I mean, so you don't pay any taxes. It's like that income was never earned. So it's a very tax efficient way of contributing.
And you're giving pre-tax dollars. So you're giving money that you never paid taxes on, which is exactly. really nice.
It's a very efficient thing. And, yeah. and that's what I decided to do. And that's the main thing that I do with Tulane and some other things too. It just worked for me right now.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's really a great, it's just a great, like I said, Katie, like you, I think of everything in buckets. I'm really visual, and I like to always think of where things come from and where things go. And I always like to think of little piles and buckets all over the place. And it's just a great bucket from which to fund your philanthropic passions and easy.
I just want to add to what Pat said, because I think she made an excellent point. This whole question of tax, there is a, it's complicated, and it's gotten more complicated, not less. So those of us who, and everybody has to pay taxes, right? But having a say in where it goes, because Lord knows if it just goes all to the government, we don't always have a say. It becomes really important to look at that. And that is one of the reasons, you know, I started a DAF account, because now if I have securities that are overvalued, I go from my, I'm not yet able to pull from any RRA, but when that time comes, I think it's brilliant, because it really optimizes your ability to give. And the same is with the DAF account. If I take my low basis stock that I've earned, if I pull them out, I pay a lot of money. If I transfer them one for one, it goes, all that gain goes to you. It affords the causes that you love, and they're actually getting more money. Whereas if I took it out and then wrote a check, I would have lost a portion of what I could have given. And that's, so I think what Pat says is that you have the opportunity as a woman that you need to indeed, look at your tax situation.
Yeah. And it gives you an opportunity to really, you're paying less for your gift, basically, when you use your IRA or you use items that you own that have maybe appreciated, or you use your stock, your out of pocket is less for the impact that you're getting. So it's truly one of those bang for the buck kind of things. I want to just turn, because you are all parents, and I want to turn to, and I'm going to start with Pat, and because you have a current student here, and how do you feel about the message that your generosity, not just in other causes, but to her university is being passed along? I mean, do you think about it with an eye towards, you know, hoping that she will then become a philanthropist as well, like her mom? Or?
Well, I would, you know, I'm not sure I've had much success with her on that, but I know she registers it. Mm-hmm. And she registers, I give to the Met as well and volunteer there. Sure. So she registers that whole concept. And, but I mean, I've actually suggested, perhaps because she has a small amount of savings, that perhaps, you know, she could allocate X amount per year. So it's hard to tell. I mean, I think the best you can do, and particularly at this age, is just modeling it and just hope it'll be there. I mean,
that was going to be my word.
They kind of absorb things and it's stored away. I mean, I certainly did that, you know, with my parents. So,
It's incredible that they do on some level listen to you and pay attention to you, even though we don't feel that they pay any attention to anything we do or say. And then surprisingly, something will come out that they really did listen. But they certainly, the modeling, I think, is incredibly important. And she's in a different stage of life. She's a student. You know, the last thing she's thinking about is philanthropy. But
she will when she's ready, I suppose.
Yeah.
Really more about that. And I think, and I've tried to ask her, not so much with Tulane, because that decision was made a while ago, but, you know, I'm thinking about X. And it's very much, of course, aligned with her. I mean, she likes the idea of the Met because she likes art. So ballet. But if I get off onto anything more, maybe, I don't know, social justice or something, she's not so much there. She doesn't really pay attention. Or, you know, you do you, Mom.
I hear that sentence. So, yeah. Penny, how about you?
Well, actually, my children are incredibly excited about what has happened, and in fact have donated towards the the archive, which is I felt really great about. One thing that I, and of course, they, I definitely am modeling, you know, the whole idea of philanthropy, and they know that their grandmother, my mother, and my, their great grandmother, all, you know, these women have been philanthropists. The other thing that I was going to, what I was thinking about as we were talking is that Tulane also models, because Tulane has this whole concept of giving as part of the students' participation.
Right.
And so I think that that has to have an impact on these young people, to, because what I see is as philanthropy is what I said earlier, which is the gift to community, to helping create community. And so I think that it has to have permeated them after 4, 5, 6 years at Tulane.
Yeah.
That giving is part of what you do at, and particularly in relationship to the academic world, you know, and particularly Tulane. So I would say that Tulane is certainly part of that influence and you know, helping young people.
That's such a great point. I mean, because they give of their time, which is an incredibly precious thing for everybody. And hopefully most of them learn that whatever they give, they get back much, much.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I've kind of always explained it as it can be a very selfish thing. You know, to give to others makes the feeling that you get and the satisfaction that you get and, you know, the significance that your life takes on is really much greater than whatever time you spend with someone or whatever dollars or, you know, things that we can give. And I know all of you are incredible volunteers and, you know, in all areas of life. And I think it's just really that modeling of that, of giving of your time is really important too. So I'm going to turn to Katie, who is kind of has been from time to time a fixture on campus. She and her husband really have given a ton of time. And so tell me about how you feel about what lessons that's taught your children.
So like everybody said, role modeling or providing the example is the first step. You can talk all you want, but there will be a time and place when they'll absorb what you have said. And, you know, what I have found is as they're having children and as they're getting older, there are things that are very meaningful to them. And you started with passion, you know, first and foremost, finding what's meaningful to you is important. And then remembering it's not just about you. Give back and, you know, especially within your means to something meaningful. And our children see us do that. And it can be time early on, or it could be your treasure later, but it should be something, because there is a part of humility that you'll never achieve if you don't step back. I mean, because we can all become quite selfish. Things are fine, but they're not lasting. Whereas when you affect a person's life or a change that is needed or just one item, just the beginning, it's very important. So just a real quick story. You know, we all think our children are not listening. My third son, who's 27 now, he is a teacher, a professor at a state university in New York. Needless to say, he makes quite a little salary, unfortunately. It's very sad, but it's true. But regardless, he has felt the need to make a difference and give back. Part of it is teaching, right? He loves to teach, and what he makes is part of that. But the other part, when he saw things, you know, this has been a challenging year on many fronts, right? You had the pandemic, we have Black Lives Matter, we have had political discord. It's not been everything hasn't been rosy in our world these times. my children have sat back, and my son wanted to get involved. And he said, but Mom, I have no money, and giving your money is stupid because it's yours, right? So what he did is he paints. He paints, and he's quite good at that. He decided to post all of his paintings on Instagram, and all the proceeds went to causes that support Black Lives Matter. He raised over $10,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Great.
And donated. So at some point, what's meaningful to them, and they see the example, it does come together. So I think that story kind of says it all, and I felt very proud that we led by example to our children. And I watched my third son step up. And then when you have four, once one son does that, especially if they're boys, there's always that, well, I can do that too, or I can do better. So that's actually not a bad thing.
I love that. I love that story. And not only does that talk about what you've taught your children, but it also talks about being creative in ways in which you know, we're not necessarily the generation that would ever think about doing something like that, but they are coming up with newer and greater ways to, you know, give to the world. So that's just, that's really great. That's fabulous. I know I see on Instagram, I'm not a poster, but I'm a voyeur, and I see a lot of people doing these incredible things that are just so creative, something like that your son did. And I'm so impressed. It's really neat. Let's end with just, I kind of like to go around and just, if anybody has any extra thoughts, advice for women who have not been philanthropic, I think that advice has really been peppered through our entire conversation. And you all are such brilliant examples. But, you know, if there's anything that you missed, you know, Penny, can I start with you? And just something that you would want other women to know about maybe dipping their toe in the water if they're able.
I think many of the women, particularly in my generation, would just really love to get involved. And I think a program like this will hopefully provide them with that incentive and knowing that they will have a willing audience and support in making the possible become reality. So I would say that this particular conversation should probably be viewed by a much larger audience than perhaps you're considering. And I think for instance, the Newcomb group should really know that these possibilities are there for them, much more than perhaps they have been made aware of that opportunity.
Yeah,
so I would say the word needs to get out there. I think that there are people out there who would love to do what the three of us have done. And it's just a matter of giving them that opportunity.
I think that's great advice, and we will take that advice, and we make sure that gets out there. Pat, can I go to you? Any thoughts or advice or?
Yeah, I mean, for younger people, it's you know, just start. It doesn't, you know, whether things that have meant something to them in their personal lives. That's probably where you're going to go first, and do it. And you will tend to become more involved. Often I have found that I volunteer for the organizations that I give to. I mean, not every single one, the little ones.
Sure.
But, and the experience, I think, is and when I got, this was really after I retired, but it was more realization that I wanted to concentrate to where I gave and get involved. And it's absolutely true. You can become more involved the more you give. So it's a really good thing. And it's a good thing for older women like me who want to spend time as well, or really do things like you guys have done. It's amazing. I love these stories. Yes. But I would say for older people, it's the necessity.
Yeah. It gives a lot of meaning.
Your life.
Right? I'm gonna end with you, and then we're gonna close.
Okay, so I would just leave it, and I fully agree with both Penny and Pat here, but make it meaningful to you. Remember, every little bit helps, how big, how small. And if, in fact, you don't have maybe the means at this point, time is also needed, and that involvement and understanding helps you figure out what's meaningful and maybe in the future how you could truly help make a difference for those things that are meaningful to you. So I just leave folks with that. And, you know, it's never too early and it's never too late. So don't worry if you're older and haven't started, or if you're young and you haven't. It's just never too early or never too late. There's a need out there, and we should all step up to whatever we can.
Well, you guys are amazing. I just want to thank all of you for everything you do, including this latest gift of your time and sharing your thoughts and experiences with us so meaningfully. The entire Tulane community is very grateful for you, for your time, your expertise, and your generosity. And I want to thank our listeners, and we hope that maybe these conversations might illuminate some of the practical ways you can give, inspire you to just go ahead and give in whatever way works for you. And, you know, these women are so inspiring, and we hope that their stories inspire our listeners to connect with causes that are meaningful to them. So stay tuned for future episodes of the podcast, and we hope you'll continue to join us.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. We would really like to hear feedback from you on how we could make this more informative going forward, and what topics you'd like to hear more about on the podcast. Please email us with any feedback, ideas, or questions at giftplanning@tulane.edu. That's giftplanning@tulane.edu. Thanks so much.